The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony, how are you?
Boker Tov, Lag Bomer Sameach. I was reading about Defense Minister Benny Gantz, who is in the U.S. at the moment. He had a meeting yesterday with the U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Apparently, Jake Sullivan considered it to be an excellent meeting, and a tweet that he sent out afterwards, apparently talking about Iranian aggression and efforts to lower tension between Israelis and Palestinians, as well as support for Ukraine. And Benny Gantz will remain in the U.S. following his meeting with Jake Sullivan. He is also due to meet with U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, I think, during the course of today. But perhaps most excitingly, and if I was him, this is what I would be most excited about, is the fact that he will be staying in New York over the weekend, because on Sunday is the Israel Day Parade in New York. And for those people who've had the opportunity to attend this parade, it is really just something to behold, a parade up Fifth Avenue. Last year, it didn't take place due to the corona pandemic, but it is back this year with a bang. And it will take place on Sunday, starting at, I think, 57th Street, which is just south of Central Park on Fifth Avenue, and moving northwards up to 74th Street. Apparently, something like a few hundred thousand people, 100,000 at least, are due to actually take place, to participate in the parade, and up to another million spectators along the route. It'll end just middle part of Central Park, and then there will be a party in the park at the summer stage in Central Park. Anybody who's in New York, go for it. It should be really, really exciting.
Yeah, we usually pick up our New York listeners after midday, but absolutely, we might have some late nighters, very late nighters. Anthony, how many events have been, you know, Lag BaOmer in Israel? Of course, it's a year since that very, very tragic event at Meron. Lag BaOmer celebrations have been taking place on Mount Meron this year and across Israel. How many, or how have events been progressing so far? How did Meron go?
So why is this Lag BaOmer different from all the other Lag BaOmers, I think, is the big question that's being asked this year. And it's really because, obviously, there is a lot of control that has been placed upon events at Lag BaOmer, at Mount Meron in particular, and across Israel. I was mentioning to Howard yesterday that there have been a lot of restrictions about preventing overcrowding of the site on Mount Meron, tickets only. And in order to get a ticket, you are prevented from spending more than 4 hours around the site on Meron, to try to limit the number of people overall at any one time to 16,000. So it has been quite tightly controlled in order to prevent the disaster that took place this time last year. And of course, across Israel, there's been this move towards trying to reduce the bonfires. And I can honestly tell you that when I went out this morning, I had a very, very different feeling about Lag BaOmer than has been the case in previous years. Generally, we are sure to close our windows and to try to prevent that smokiness which comes in from all the bonfires, and it's just prevalent across Israel. And when going out in the morning on Lag BaOmer, you just have that hangover of bonfire smell that you can just sense all around, the pollution. And that has not been the case this year. We didn't go to any special precaution to close our windows to prevent the smoke from coming in. And this morning when going out, it really didn't feel like there was that hangover. A little bit of smoke in the air, but really nothing to the extent that we've been used to experience in previous years. So this year, Lag BaOmer is a little different. And I think it's a positive thing, and it doesn't prevent us from celebrating Lag BaOmer. A lot of people ask what Lag BaOmer is really about. Why do we celebrate it? What's the big deal? Of course, it is considered to be the Yortzeit, the anniversary of the death of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was a sage. He was a leading disciple of Rabbi Akiva in the second century, and he was considered to be, and he is the author of the Zohar, or is considered at least to be the author of the Zohar, which is a book which is so reputed to reveal some of the deepest secrets of the Kabbalah. So he's very much involved in Jewish mysticism, and he's one of those people who the mystics really look up to. And people like to visit his gravesite at Mount Meron on the anniversary of his death. It's also considered to be a chilula, a celebration, rather than something which is sad. And it is also the day when we understand the pandemic, the plague that struck the disciples of Rabbi Akiva, stopped. They actually stopped dying on this day. And who would imagine that we would live to really, truly understand what that means in our day? Because whenever we spoke about the period of mourning during the Omer, which coincided with the deaths of Rabbi Akiva's students, for me, it was something that I couldn't honestly understand. Unfortunately, over the last few years, we've been allowed to understand a little bit closer. And so today, of course, is the end of the mourning period, which means that people can have weddings and people can cut their hair and their beards and things like that. It's at the end of that period. And so a lot of people will be going out to celebrate their ability to do those things. But overall, just a different celebration today for Lag BaOmer. And I hope that people who will be celebrating, listeners who are celebrating, will also be doing so joyously but safely.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I was doing some research at 3 o'clock this morning, because apparently that's what I do at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was researching Lag BaOmer, and apparently it's only been around since the 17th century. It doesn't go back to, you know, further than that. And there's a very interesting opinion, Anthony, by the revered Chassam Sofer, who he actually opposed Lag BaOmer celebrations, and he said that one should not make a new yontif that is not based on a miraculous event that also has no basis in Shas or Poskim, and that is based on the death of somebody, which I thought was just really interesting. I've never seen an opinion like this before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the good thing about Judaism is that you can always find a contrary opinion if you're prepared to look for it. There is some logic to the opinion. You know, for me, it was a little bit strange to say this is a chilula, this is a celebration, yeah, on a day that is also considered to be a yortzeit. The two don't really go together.
Exactly.
And of course, some of the events that go on Har Meron, including the cutting of the hair of boys who've reached the age of 3 years old for the first time, and some of the things that happen, and particularly the tragic events of last year, make one wonder, you know, whether this is really all worth it and why it's been turned into such a big celebration. I think celebrating is always a good thing. And, you know, it's not necessarily Yom Tov, because, of course, it's a regular working day and there's no real restrictions to the day. So I'm not quite sure that we could consider it to be a classic Yom Tov, but certainly celebrating has no bounds. And I think that we should celebrate as much as we can and whenever we have the possibility to do so.
So do you think we should maybe make some kind of celebration once the COVID pandemic is over?
Well, I would not be opposed to it at all. And I can also you that Israel will be lifting the mask wearing requirement on international flights starting next week.
Yay.
And that the tests at the airport, which are currently required for all people landing at Ben Gurion, both Israelis and visitors, will also cease, I think, as of this weekend. So people coming to Israel towards the end of next week will neither be required to wear masks on the flights, nor will they be required to have a test when they arrive at the airport. And of course, mask wearing in Israel, at both indoor activities and outside, is now also no longer required. So maybe we should be celebrating the end of the pandemic here today, at least in Israel, as far as things are concerned. I hope that we were able to do that.
Oh, that would just be wonderful. It really would. Anthony, let's get controversial for a minute. The Jerusalem Day Parade around the old city of Jerusalem has been approved. So talk to us about the Jerusalem Day and the parade and what this actually means.
Yom Yerushalayim is due to take place in a week on Sunday. So it's like the week before Shavuot. And it is the day that we celebrate to remember the reunification of the city of Jerusalem following the Six-Day War. Those people who are students of history will recall that prior to 1967, prior to the Six-Day War, the city of Jerusalem was divided up between East and West. There was actually a wall that ran down the middle. At that time, Jews were unable to gain access to the Kotel, to the Western Wall, and to the Temple Mount area, because that was all on the Jordanian side of the border, which ran right through the middle of the city of Jerusalem. And after the east side of Jerusalem was conquered, with those famous words, HaKotel beYadenu, the Kotel is in our hands, which came from the commander of the forces during the Six-Day War, because that was obviously one of the intentions, was to try to recapture the Kotel area, to bring it back into Jewish hands, and of course to reunify the city of Jerusalem. That all took place back in 1967, and since then we have celebrated Yom Yerushalayim, which is the day upon which we celebrate the reunification of the city of Jerusalem. And it's traditional on Yom Yerushalayim to have a flag parade. The flag parade has traditionally gone through the Jaffa Gate, has traditionally gone through the Damascus Gate, has gone through the old city of Jerusalem, in order to go to walk down the road that previously was not available to Israelis and to Jews as a result of it being in Jordanian hands, and today is in our own hands, and we want to celebrate that fact. Of course, last year, this particular parade was not allowed to take place because it happened to fall exactly during the month of Ramadan and during that period where there was such a lot of conflict going on both at the Temple Mount and elsewhere in Jerusalem, and ultimately it resulted in Operation Guardian of the Walls, which was an operation in Gaza which resulted in quite a number of Israelis being killed, lots of Hamas fire of rockets from Gaza. So it was a highly sensitive and controversial time last year. And at that time, it was decided that the flag parade would not pass through the Damascus Gate, only the Jaffa Gate, because the Damascus Gate has really been the scene of a lot of controversy and a lot of conflict. However, this year, it has been decided by our public security minister, Omer Bar-Lev, that he's taken an assessment of the situation, and he's decided that the flag march can return to its traditional route through the Damascus Gate, as well as through the Jaffa Gate. Now, in light of some of the things that have been happening over the last few weeks, it came as a little bit of a surprise to me that he's taken this decision, because things are certainly not calm in Jerusalem, and things have been quite violent on some days, even in recent times. So that decision has come as a little bit of a surprise. Of course, the right wing are celebrating a big victory that this has been decided. The left wingers are not so sure about it. I suspect that we probably haven't heard the end of this discussion yet. We still have more than a week to go until Yom Yerushalayim, until the flag parade is due to take place. My suspicion is that that we have not heard the final word on this matter.
And it's always worrying. It's always very worrying when we hear about, you know, it becomes a test of wills, I guess.
Right. Yes. It's going to be, it's potentially a big issue. And I suspect that Hamas will respond to this, and that there may well even be some conflict. And who knows, even some rocket fire from Gaza. I don't know whether any of this has been considered, but it's obviously highly controversial and potentially incendiary a decision that has been made. I understand why it's been made. Of course, I do understand why. But I think we need to also understand what the consequences could be. So, as I say, I don't think we've heard the last word on this yet.
Yeah. Listen, we also having our own flag issues here in South Africa. The Department of Arts and Culture have put 22 million rand to erect a 100-meter flagpole with the South African flag, because they think that South Africans need to unite against our flag. So we've also got flag issues, Anthony, but I'm sure that this conversation will continue next week, both of them.
Absolutely.
I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, and thank you so much.
Take care, Shabbat Shalom, and a great weekend.
God bless, Anthony.